Sure is good to be with you this morning, and I hope that you have come prepared to worship and to fellowship here together, one with another. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and this morning we're going to look at verses 16 through 20. You know, we've gone through a series of sermon messages here through the Christmas holiday season called Christmas Time. And we've talked about how that Christmas is a time for giving, a time for receiving, a time for remembering, a time for reflecting. Remembering what Christ has done for us and the church. Remembering those that we've loved who have gone on before us. We've reflected upon many things, and we know that God's greatest gift truly is His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, as we move into the new year, we want to talk about the new year and being a time for future planning. You know, a lot of times folks, I feel like, maybe use the old scripture and the excuse that, you know, we shouldn't really plan a lot of things because they refer back to the scripture in the book of James that says, you know, we shouldn't say that we're going to do this or that, but life is very much like a vapor. And you know what? That's very true. You know, none of us have a promise of tomorrow. We don't have a guarantee that things are going to happen like we want them to happen. When I went to work in law enforcement, that was something that I really had to teach myself to accept, that I worked in a job that was potentially dangerous, and that I should really be more aware that every day truly is a blessing. Well, as we move into the new year, even though we don't have a guarantee that any of us will be here this time next year, I feel like as the church and as God's people, we have a duty and an obligation to plan for what God wants us to do. I feel like we have a duty and an obligation to seek out what God's will is for us, what God's will is for this church, and to plan and set forth to do what God has in store for us. Amen? Amen. As we move into this message in this time, the first thing I want you to see here is this. I want you to know that Christ came with a purpose. Amen? Christ came with a purpose. We know that Christ's greatest purpose was to seek and to save that which is lost. I believe that the words of Christ explain it best. Why did He come? He says, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. I come to be the propitiation of man's sin. I come to be a reconciliation between a holy God and an unrighteous man. So if Christ came with a purpose to this earth, thus you and I, you, the church, we as individuals, we too have a purpose. If Christ came with a purpose, thus we have a purpose, and we are all a part of God's greater plan. Whether you like it or not, you're a part of God's greater plan. And you know what? You're going to make the ultimate decision in your life as to the part of God's plan that you want to play. You can choose to be a part of God's greater plan and work to the glory of God. Or you can make a decision that you're going to slide by. You can make a decision that I'm going to do the bare minimum. Or you can make the decision that I'm going to do nothing at all but hold down a pew. And I'm thankful for God's people, and I'm thankful for those that come to church, and I'm thankful for those that fellowship. But church is so much more than these four walls. Being a part of God's greater plan is more than just listening to sermons. Being a part of God's greater plan, it requires all of us to come together and make a decision that we're going to work toward what Christ wants us to do. You see, Christ came to do more than just preach, and He came to do more than just teach. Christ came with a purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came with a purpose to work while there was still daylight to work, what He told His disciples. He says, don't waste the time that you have. So Christ was a worker. And I believe if we're going to take lessons from Christ, we've got to make the decisions to be workers in the part of God's greater plan. this morning as we look to Matthew chapter 28. And before we get into that, I always get ahead of myself sometimes, but I want you to be in prayer very much for my family and for my wife. We have experienced so much sickness in the last several months. Hannah broke her ankle back a few months ago. Hunter has been sick with just a lot of common childhood things. Seems like he gets strep continuously. And then Heather woke up yesterday morning very, very sick. And we took her to the hospital. And she has very severe pancreatitis. And we don't know where that's from. A lot of the common causes for pancreatitis, she doesn't have those. So the doctors are just trying to figure out what the sudden onset of pancreatitis is from. And the typical blood levels, when they test, do lab tests for your pancreas enzymes and things like that, a typical number, the doctor said, was about 300 to 400. Hers were 11,000. So she's very, very ill right now, just not feeling good. Certainly not life-threatening, but it is very painful. It is a very, very painful experience. So she has just been really sick, and basically, until they know the greater cause of what causes it, the prognosis and the treatment for it right now is just some antibiotics and fluids, and basically not eating or drinking anything for about 18 to 24 hours, and then they bring you back onto a liquid diet and just try to go from there. So she's going to be in the hospital for the next 3 to 4 days, and she's there this morning. But she really was very adamant about me coming to church this morning. But she loves you very much. We love you. We love laboring with you. We love serving with you. You know, I love being your interim pastor. Heather loves being here with me and loves serving this church. So we want to be a part of God's greater plan for the life of Buena Vista Baptist Church, as long as it's part of God's will here, okay? And we love you very much. But as we look at God's Word this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, here Jesus Christ, you know, we almost skipping very far ahead here. We've gone from talking about His birth, now we come to talking about not only His death, but really post-death. Now Christ is getting ready to ascend into heaven. He's already risen, and He's walked about the earth for 40 days, and He's getting ready to ascend. And Jesus is giving His commission to His disciples. He's laying out what the purpose of His coming was and the purpose of what the life of the disciples will now be. As we look at Jesus' commission, if you find your reading in the Word of God, if you can, let us stand together as we read the Word of God. Let us stand together as we give honor to the reading of the Word of God, if you can. As we start reading there in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank You that You've blessed us with another opportunity to come here to be in Your house. Lord, we thank You for letting us live through and see the year 2016. Lord, for many, 2016 has been a difficult year. Many, Lord, have faced sickness. Many have faced trials and hardships and tribulation. But Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You because You're still God on the throne, because You are still God Almighty. Lord God, I pray that today you speak boldly to our heart. Lord, as you've spoken boldly to mine. Lord, I pray that you make us a part of your plan. Lord, a plan that was set forth by you 2,000 years ago. Lord, a plan that is so simple that even a child could follow it. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to be your servants, Lord. Father God, most of all, I pray that you'll give us the gumption and the want to. Lord God, I pray that as long as you've allowed me to be here and to serve, Lord, that you use me in a mighty way. That, Father God, as we move into the year of 2017, Lord, that we'll be greater than we were in 2016. And that, Lord, we'll seek out to do your will. And that, Lord, you'll motivate our hearts to be more on fire for you. Lord, I know that the last 2 years have been a roller coaster ride for myself and for my family. Lord, I thank you for letting me come here and to labor with these people that I love so dearly. Lord, I thank you for reinstilling in my heart a desire to preach your word and to serve you faithfully, Lord. Father God, I just pray that others around me, Lord, will have that same heart's desire, that same burden as I do, Lord. And sometimes, Father, it just burdens my heart to see others that have grown cold. Well, Father God, Lord, I pray that through this message today, you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll speak to every one of us, Lord. And that, Father God, your Spirit would be upon us to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. And Lord, most of all, if there's somebody here today beneath the sound of my voice who doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, that's lost, that today, before it be everlasting too late, Lord, they'll come and they'll give their heart and their life to you and say, Lord, here am I. Father God, Lord, I pray that to your people, those of us that know you, that say, Lord, you are my Lord and Savior, I pray that you speak to our hearts today as well. Lord, maybe there's some of us that need to rededicate our hearts and our lives. Lord, maybe there's some of us who just need to come and pray for forgiveness, Lord. Some of us that may need to come and pray for direction. Lord, some of us that may need to come and just ask you, Lord, would you rekindle my heart's fire? Father God, whatever the burden and the need might be, I pray that we'll respond to the presence of your Spirit today. It's in your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. As we talk about Christ and His purpose, as we talk about the purpose of the church, I feel like it's important for us to know and understand that any organization, whether we talk about an institute, a business, a college, whatever the case may be, it only justifies its sole existence in so much as it carries out the purpose for which it was founded. You see, a college really isn't a college if they don't teach and offer higher education. Right? If I found a college and I don't teach higher education, my college isn't going to exist very long because the purpose for which it was founded isn't being met. If I open up a mechanic shop and I do everything but mechanic work, the shop isn't going to stay open very long, is it? No. Why? Because the purpose for which I have founded my mechanic shop isn't being met anymore. If I open up a grocery store, and we talk about those that have passed, I always think about E.J. Hasty, Kaywood's father. You know, E.J. was a member at Drake's Creek when I was the pastor there, and I was so close to E.J. and Linda. They were good to me. And I always thought about E.J. Hasty's store. You know, E.J. Hasty's store was so successful in part because he was a good businessman and in part because people loved him, but even more so because his business existed for the purpose for which it was founded. He sold groceries. Amen? I mean, that was the purpose for what his grocery store was there for. Now let's think about the church. Christ has founded a church for the purpose of soul winning. For the purpose of soul winning. And you know what? That's what I hate so much about this doctrine of Calvinism that I hear so much about all the time. Why? Because in the doctrine of Calvinism, the teaching is that God makes the decision as to who will be saved and to who is lost, and it takes away the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to evangelize and to share with the lost and the dying world that you need to be saved. And Jesus is the only way that you can gain salvation. You see, the church only exists in and so much as it meets His purpose. When the church becomes a country club, when the church becomes a place of just fellowship, when the church becomes a place of just feel goods, the church doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't. It's something else. I don't know what it is at that point. I guess it's a social club, but it isn't a church anymore. Is the purpose of this church existing for the purpose in which Christ founded it? And if we're not existing for Christ's purpose, then in 2017 we've got to make plans. We've got to make plans to change. We've got to make plans to make hard decisions. And you know what? People hate change. I've never been the pastor or led people anywhere in a church that somebody come up to me and said, I love change. It doesn't happen. When you talk about changing something, people pucker up like a snare drum. You talk about change in a business meeting, and the room becomes like you have burped a Tupperware bowl. It sucks the oxygen right out of the room. People hate change. But if we have become so complacent as a church and as God's people that we're not existing for His purpose anymore, we've got to change. Or we'll die with the world. Do you understand that? We'll die with the world. We've got to change. Christ came with a purpose. Thus we have a purpose. And we are all a part of God's greater plan. What part will you choose to play? As a part of this plan, people ask, how do we evangelize a world like this? You know what? I believe the world is more wicked now than it has ever been before. Hands down. I see it as a law enforcement officer. Just in a county of 17,000 people. Rockcastle County, where I work, is not more violent than it was 20 years ago, but it's more wicked than it was 20 years ago. The world that we live in today is a wicked place. You know, last night I knew things were going to begin to happen in Istanbul, Turkey. A man walks into a nightclub and begins to shoot people as an act of terrorism because of his faith in his God. The same God of Abraham, I'll remind you of that. The same God that we read about in the Old Testament. The same God. Bear in mind, the same God. But His God tells him to walk into a nightclub and to take the lives of innocent people. I don't serve that God. That's not the same God, according to the Word of God. That's not what God's purpose for me is, amen? Is that God's purpose for you, to enact wickedness in the world? No. But you know what? I don't want to be a standby to the wickedness of the world either. I want to be a part of God's greater plan to do great things in the world. But how do we do it? How do we reach such a wicked world? How do we reach people in a world of technology? Well, the first thing that I want you to know is this, is that Jesus set forth His power for the church. Jesus set forth His power for the church. As Jesus Christ is giving His commission, as He is giving His outline for the church, the 11 disciples are there, the only ones that are left. And it says that they were there, but some doubted. It says there in verse 18, and Jesus came and He spake unto them saying, He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. He says, all power. I love the fact that I serve a Savior with all power. I love it. I love the fact that I serve a Savior who is all powerful. That means all. If you see that word, if you'll notice in your sermon outlines, I typed it with a capital A-double-L. All. That's all inclusive, is it not? When I say all, that means everybody. It doesn't mean everybody excluding you guys. Christ says, I have all power. So as we go to set out to meet the purpose for the church, we need to know and understand that Christ has set His power for us. That He says, I have all power and I'm going to give you the power that you need. If you believe me, if you trust in me, if you're going to follow me, I've got all power. We serve a Savior with all power and we serve a Savior with all grace. Amen. All power and all grace. That means that He's going to provide the power that we need to go forth into a world that's full of the lost, full of the wicked. He's going to send us out into the world and He's going to give us all the power and all of the grace and all of the mercy and all of the strength that you and I need to complete His purpose. I hear people say all the time, our adversary, the devil, is a great foe. And you know what? As God's people, we should never underestimate how powerful that Satan really is. You know, the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whomever that he may devour. So we see there that Peter gives a good reference to the power that Satan has. It says he compares him to this roaring lion. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be in a cage at a zoo with a roaring lion. They're very intimidating. So it is an intimidation factor. And Peter continues on to say that he'll seek out to devour whomever he may. But you know, one of the key words there is whomever he may. Whomever that he may. It doesn't mean that he has all power and all ability, and that anybody that he comes up against is going to lose. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean this. If you're not watchful, if you're not mindful, that Satan will devour you and spit you out. We need to understand that that is the power of Satan. We need to understand that he has the ability to turn hearts and lives upside down. He has the ability to destroy families and homes and nations. But the key thing there is whomever he may. Whomever he may. You see, those families and those individuals and those nations, they allow Satan to come in and wreak havoc in the church and in the home and in the nation because of the decisions that they make. Do you understand that? That when Satan wreaks havoc in your life so often, it is because of the decisions that you make and the decisions that I make. And I want to tell you something. I have fallen prey many times, but I have fallen prey, especially in the last 2 years, to several things. And you know what? I've allowed Satan to come in and to detour and demean a lot of things in my life and in my ministry. 2 years ago, I had no desire to preach anymore. 2 years ago, I never wanted to be the pastor of a church again. I just didn't. And you know what? The late parts of 2015 and the early first half of 2016, I was determined that I would never pastor a church again. Never. But you know what? A lot of that was because of the things that I allow Satan to put into my heart and into my mind. And you know what? Satan worked through a lot of individuals that I considered my friends, people that I considered godly people even, to help instill a lot of those thoughts in my life. You know what? We've got to remember that we serve an all-powerful, almighty, full of grace Savior like Jesus Christ. And that what anybody else says and what anybody else does really doesn't matter. does it? It doesn't matter. We've got to remember that we have a foe who is very powerful, but we still serve a Savior who is in control. Not only did Jesus set forth His power for the church, not only do we know that Jesus gave us power and the power to the disciples to meet the goals and the purpose of the church, and that Jesus still yet provides that power to you and I, church, we need to know that Jesus also set forth His plan for the church. You see, Christ says, I've got all power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and He says, I give you that power. Speaking to the disciples before He ascends into heaven, He says, and I give you that power to go forth to teach and to preach the gospel. And then He laid out a plan. He laid out a plan in these verses that we've read here. Not only does He give us our purpose, not only does He give us our goals to look forward to, but He arms us with His power. He says, I'm going to give you the ability to meet my purpose, but then He doesn't just say, go out and do. He gives us a plan, amen? If there's any biblical reason on earth as to why the church ought to plan for what it's going to do in 2017, it's for the plan that Jesus Christ set forth. He didn't just leave His disciples to say, here you go out into the world. He gave them a plan, did He not? You know why He gave them a plan? Because without a plan, they'd have never got started. Amen? Amen. You know why we need a plan? Because if we don't have a plan, we'll never get started. This time next year, we'll be in the same place talking about the same things and expressing how we need to change. We need a plan. But guess what? Christ gave us a plan. I don't have to make a plan. You know what? I don't have to come up with a program. Yeah, Christians amaze me sometimes. Being a pastor, I've been amazed over the years. Do you know what most ministries are to Christians? To, you know, when a pastor gets up here and it touts and explains a new ministry program about how we're going to go out and evangelize and do all these great things, I want to let you in on a secret. It's smoke and mirrors, folks. It's the same plan that Jesus set forth 2,000 years ago. Do you realize that? I'm not coming up with anything new. The KBC and the SBC, they're not coming up with anything new. It's the same plan. The execution might be a little bit different. And we might be trying to motivate people by making them think it's something new and improved. But it's the same plan. Nothing has changed. But the first thing we have to do as a part of this plan is this. We must go to them. Amen. We must go to them. He says in verse 19, go ye therefore. He says, I'm going to give you all power to meet the purpose of the church. What's part A of the plan? Go ye therefore. Go to them. Sometimes as a church we wonder, why on earth aren't we reaching lost people? We wonder as a church, why aren't our pews filled with people who want to hear about Jesus? Because the lost people aren't here this morning. Did you understand that? Lost people aren't in the church. They're not in the pew. They're at home. They're with their families. They're doing what they want to do. They're living up life to the fullest extent. That's where the lost people are. You see, that's why the church is so much more than pews and four walls and a pulpit. It's more than those things because we've got to go to the lost people and tell them about Jesus. You know what? That means that you've got to roll up your sleeves. That means that you've got to make a decision that you're going to go out and find these people. And you know what? You can't swing a cat without hitting a lost person in this world. Do you realize that? And you know what? If you don't feel comfortable going out to the populace of the world, how many of you here today, by a show of hands, I often don't ask you to raise your hands, but by a show of hands, how many of you have somebody who is lost in your immediate family? Somebody? Whether we're talking about everybody here has a mother or a father, a brother or a sister, or a child or a grandchild, or somebody that they personally know who is lost and in need of salvation. Go ye therefore. You don't have to go out into the community. Start with the people that you love, amen? Start with those that you desperately want to see saved. Share first with them. Build up your confidence and move to others. What's the second part of the plan? He says to go ye therefore, but he also says this, and teach all nations. He says teach all nations. The second part of the plan is as we go to them, we must also win them over. Amen? Got to win them over. You got to tell them about Jesus. And you know what? I often have people come to me over the years, how do I share Jesus? What do I need to share with somebody that they might be saved? I'm gonna give you the key right here. Has everybody wanted the answer to that question? What do I need to share with a lost person? Here's the answer. Write it down. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all you need to share with a lost and a dying world is Jesus. You know, when Peter was called up when he was called up in his preaching ministry and he was sent out to the Ethiopian, you know what he shared with him? Christ and Him crucified. The very first message of a brand new sermon series we're going to start next Sunday morning called Growing in Christ from the book of Colossians. The first thing you're going to learn in that sermon series is all you need is Jesus. All you need to share Jesus is Him crucified. Because you know what? That's all that matters. You want to be saved? Christ and Him crucified is all that matters. Your good works, your good deeds, your actions, the person that you are, the person you want to be, none of that matters. It's Christ and Him crucified. That's all you need to win them over. Go ye therefore. He says, go forth and teach all nations. You want to know what you got to teach? Christ and Him crucified. You know what? It doesn't take much to memorize a few verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him, none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. To remember verses like, it's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To remember verses like Christ said of His very own purpose in this life, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. To verses that tell us about our sinful status and nature, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. You know what? In all those verses I just shared with you right there, you've got the words of Christ, the words of His teachers and His preachers, that tell you everything you need to know about salvation. He came to seek and to save a lost and a dying world. He is the Son of God. He died for you and I. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And God loves us all so much that He wants us to all come to repentance, that we might know Him as Lord and as Savior. And the granddaddy of them all, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe on thine heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him as the Savior of the world, Him risen again, thou shalt be saved. That's all you need to know. And I believe as educated adults, you can learn that in no time. I believe that. You don't have to be a genius. You don't. Look at me. Amen? That was a joke. You can laugh. It's okay. I mean, look at me. I'm not a genius. I've got a little bit of higher education, but not much. But you know what always amazes me is people who have more degrees than a thermometer hanging on their wall, but they still can't effectively explain Christ and Him crucified. I don't get it. That's all you need, Christ and Him crucified. We have to go. We have to teach so that we might win them over. Then we must baptize them into fellowship. It says, go ye therefore, teaching them Christ and Him crucified, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. You see, after we win them over, we're to bring them into the fellowship of the church, are we not? We are. We have this duty and this obligation to bring them into the fellowship, not just to see them saved and set them off into the world that they might have a happy ever after. We have a duty and an obligation, and it was Christ's plan that we would bring them into the church. Why? So that the last part of the plan could be done. He says now, in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The last part of the plan is we must teach them to observe. We've got to teach them like Christ taught His disciples. We've got to teach them all things as I have taught you is what He says. That's called discipleship. Does anybody remember training union? That's right, training union. Does everybody remember what training union was? It's another smoke and mirrors ministry, folks. It was discipleship. Teaching the same old plan that Christ set forth 2,000 years ago. Teach them all things as I've taught you. Discipleship! And it changed from, they changed the name of it from training union because training union got so outdated. And then you know what they called it? They called it discipleship training. Does anybody remember that movement in KBC? Sure you do. I do. I grew up in that generation of discipleship training. Guess what? Same old plan, just with a whole different name. Teach them all things as I've taught you. Bring them into the fellowship of the church. Win them over by teaching them Christ and Him crucified. But if you're going to make all that happen, the first thing you've got to do is go. What is this final part of this message? We've got the power. We've got the plan. But Christ didn't stop there. You see, Jesus set forth His promise for the church. He gave us a promise. The latter part there of verse 20, he says, teaching them all things, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even unto the end of the world. You know what? I believe Jesus meant that twofold. And I'll share with you why I believe that. First, I believe when he said to the end of the world, I believe he meant as the figurative expression that we say to the end of the world, to be at the far end of the world. You see, he sent his disciples and he knew that he was going to have a ministry that was going to expand outside of the Jews, didn't he? Yes, he did. He knew that he was going to have a ministry that was going to go on to the Gentile world. And you know what? He would eventually send Paul as far as Spain, preaching the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. So I believe when He said, I'm with you even unto the ends of the world, I believe that's what He meant. But even more than that, He also meant He'd be with us to the end of the world. Meaning when things finally come to an end. He's not going to skip out early. He's not going to leave us high and dry. He's not going to put us in the far reaches of the world and let us die alone. You know what? Paul and many of the servants of Christ, they died in their service to Him. We know that some of them died terrible deaths. We know that Paul labored in prison. We know that Peter was crucified upside down. That's a terrible way to die. But you know what? Even in death, Christ was with him. Did he not? Jesus left us a promise. He says, I'm going to be with you always. He says, I'm going to send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs. And you and I don't have to be alone. He's with us everywhere that we go. And He'll be with us till the end. And you know what? He'll love us to the end. One of my favorite verses, and we'll get to it as we get closer to Easter, but probably one of my favorite verses from the Gospels is as they're getting ready for the Last Supper. I'll share this. We're going to get ready to close. I know that I've gone long. But at the Last Supper, they're going through all this. Christ, it says in the scripture, he knows that Peter's going to deny him. He knows that another of his faithful followers, Judas, is going to ultimately betray him unto death. He knows that they're going to scatter. It says that in the scripture. He knows all these things. But as they prepare for the Last Supper, it says, and he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. Even though he knew that Judas would betray him unto death, he loved him to the end. Even though that Peter would deny him, Peter, this man who is the rock, is going to deny Christ three times, and Jesus loved him to the end. That's the promise that we have in Christ, amen, is that he loves us to the end. You know, some people are hard to love, are they not? They are. Some people are hard to love. But Christ loves them irregardless. I'm glad that I serve a Christ who gives me that promise, that lo, I am with you always. You know, I got to listen to a song on the way to church this morning, and I'm not going to lie, as you could tell from the beginning of service, I cried most of the way here this morning. It's been a stressful 2 days. But I was all right till I turned on the radio and I wanted to listen to some music to clear my mind. And there was a new contemporary song, and I haven't listened to a lot of Christian music on the radio in the last bit. But there was a new song on there that talked about the promise of God. It says that he calms the storm and he's with us in the fire. There is nobody else like Jesus. There's nobody else like Jesus. There's no promise like the promise Jesus gives us. I'm with you always. There's no plan any better than the plan that Jesus gives us. Amen? And there's no power any greater than the power that God has set forth through His Son, that He says, I give unto you to go forth to a lost and a dying world. What part will you play in God's greater plan? If your heart's not on fire for God, you've got to change. That's all there is to it. I don't have some greater message for you about this 12-step program that you need to go through. I don't. All that I can tell you and all that I know from my experience is that you have got to change. You've got to change your outlook. You've got to change your priorities. You've got to change everything about you, because you've got to live a Christ-centered life or the world's going to devour you. Because I've been there. If you can't listen to anybody else, would you not please listen to me? Because I've been there. Because I love you. Because I don't want you to experience the same things. You've got to be on fire for God. And if Christ isn't the center of your heart, you've got to change. If Christ isn't the center of your family, you've got to change your family. That's all that I can tell you. Is you've got to put Christ where He belongs, at the center of the family. Our nation is another story. Will we ever get there? I don't know. Can we get there? Yeah. Because God gave us a promise and a plan and told us how to do it. To repent and confess and turn back to Him. But will you? Here's your opportunity right now. As Jason comes and as our praise team comes and they prepare a song for us, right now is your opportunity. What would you plan for in 2017? Will it be life as usual, business as usual, nothing different in any way? Or will this message impact you like it's impacted me? If for nobody else, God spoke to me on this one. But I believe He spoke to other people as well. So will you not respond today? Let's pray. God, Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, I just ask Your Spirit continue to speak to hearts. Lord, more than anything today, I would love to see people respond. I would love to see somebody come forward and say, I need to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I would love to see somebody come forward and say, Lord, I need you to set me on fire again. I would love for somebody to come forward and say, Lord, I want you to be the center of my life again, and I'm just seeking your will. Lord, I would love for people to come forward and say, I want to be a part of God's greater plan at Buena Vista Baptist Church to reach a lost world. Father God, I just pray that your Spirit speaks to hearts and that people will now respond. It's in your name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Let's all stand.